So, I was looking at the calendar this morning, and it is February 26th, 2026.
Right.
And sitting down with today's stack of source material, specifically this Tekin Knight report,
Yeah.
there is a very weird vibe right now.
Yeah, it's a very specific kind of tension.
It really is. Like, you
Yeah.
read this and you can almost feel it, the dead of night, these massive data centers just humming away. And we're kind of looking at the long shadows of Silicon Valley here.
That's a good way to put it. The contrast is it's jarring.
Right. Because on one hand, we've got these startups talk about using lasers to simulate literal
Oh,
stars.
the fusion stuff, yeah.
Yeah, to power AI. Total sci-fi concepts. But then you flip the page, and the same report says we currently can't even stop a basic Excel spreadsheet from completely destroying a company's network.
It's the ultimate contradiction of where we are right now. We are literally trying to put servers in orbit.
Which we'll get to, because, wow.
Exactly. But the ground beneath us, the very basic digital infrastructure, is basically crumbling.
Yeah, the main theme of this deep dive today, the hook that really grabbed me, is this feeling that the technology monster is just, it's slipping out of the grip of the people who created it.
That's the core tension.
We're not talking about your wifey dropping out. We're looking at lethal cyber attacks. We're looking at AI safety teams being entirely disbanded. And like we said, the brutal physics of why launching AI into space is right now just a massive financial black hole.
If you look at the roadmap the Tekin Knight source lays out, they frame it around three main pillars.
Okay, let's break those down.
First is vulnerability. That's the whole Microsoft situation. Our current defense is failing. Second is limitations.
Right, the hardware wall.
Yeah, why Apple is struggling to get AI working in your pocket and why space is so expensive. And the third pillar is consequences. What actually happens socially when these algorithms prioritize engagement over game safety, like we're seeing with the upscroll debacle?
So the mission for today's deep dive isn't just to list off these headlines. We want to really understand this war between rapid, unchecked commercialization and, well, human safety.
Because it is a war, and right now, ship it fast is winning.
Totally. So let's jump right into that first pillar, vulnerability. Microsoft just revealed a massive zero-day vulnerability in Windows and Office. And I think we should probably define zero-day for anyone listening, because Hollywood uses that term a lot.
It do, and usually wrong.
Right.
A zero day just means the vendor, in this case, Microsoft, had exactly 0 days to fix the problem before hackers started exploiting it.
Meaning they found the open window before the security team even knew the house had a window there.
Exactly. This isn't just a glitch. The report emphasizes this is an industrial-scale cyber offensive.
And the mechanism is terrifyingly simple. It's not someone in a dark hoodie typing green code furiously. It's an innocuous link, or a single infected Excel sheet.
That's the nightmare scenario. It uses something called RCE.
Remote code execution,
Yeah,
right? It
yes. The second you open that spreadsheet, the malware just executes. It doesn't ask if you trust the file. It immediately grants itself administrator privileges.
So it basically kicks the door down and immediately changes the locks.
Right, and it uses advanced obfuscation. So your antivirus, the software you pay for to stop this exact thing, is completely blind to it.
It just looks like a normal pivot table or whatever.
Exactly. It hides in plain sight until it's too late. And the targets here aren't just individuals. We're talking commercial enterprises, government infrastructure, anything connected to massive cloud databases like Azure.
So what's the fix? Because the report says patches are just a band-aid.
The source argues strongly for a zero trust architecture. You can't trust antivirus scans anymore. You basically have to assume every single file from the outside is a threat.
Which sounds exhausting for a regular workflow.
It is. But it's the only way when the foundation is this cracked.
Okay, so if Microsoft can't secure a spreadsheet, that naturally brings up a bigger question. Can OpenAI secure a superintelligence? Because transitioning to our second point, the external threats are bad, but the internal threats might be worse.
Yeah, the death of alignment.
Right. OpenAI has officially disbanded its mission alignment team.
Which is incredibly significant.
I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, this was the specific group of people whose entire job was to make sure AI doesn't decide to wipe out humanity.
That was their literal mandate, and now they're scattered.
The report notes the team leader was moved to this new role, Chief Futurist.
Which is a purely symbolic title.
Yeah, it sounds like a corner office with zero actual authority.
And remember, top scientists like Ilya Sutskever and Jan Like had already left before this.
So why do this? Why disband the safety net right when the tightrope is getting the highest?
The source analyzes this as a pure war between capital and preservation. OpenAI is in a brutal race. They have Anthropic right behind them. They have XAI.
So it's a speed thing.
Completely. Rigorous safety protocols take time. They delay product launches. And commercial products make money.
There's a really stark analogy in the report. They say it's like taking the emergency brakes off a bullet train and using the parts as decorations in the passenger cars.
It's exactly that. OpenAI has shifted from being this nonprofit research laboratory into a capitalist titan.
So the takeaway for you, if you're a developer listening to this, or really anyone relying on these systems, you can't trust corporate foundation models to have a built-in moral compass anymore.
No, you have to build your own safety features at the app layer. You cannot rely on the base model to police itself.
Man, that is bleak. But let's bring it down to something people interact with every single day. Let's talk about the iPhone.
The consumer reality check.
Yeah. We've got OpenAI racing ahead with no brakes, but Apple seems to be completely stuck in the mud. The source says the big March iOS 26.4 update for Siri is delayed again.
Right, the context-aware features.
Yeah, the stuff that was supposed to make Siri actually smart, now they're saying fall 2026. Why is Apple struggling so much here?
It really comes down to an engineering bottleneck driven by their philosophy on privacy. Apple insists on on-device processing.
Meaning the AI brain actually lives on the phone chip itself.
Exactly. Whereas Google and OpenAI use massive warehouse-sized data centers to process your prompts. Apple wants it all local, so your data never leaves your hand.
Which sounds great for privacy.
It is, but the physics are brutal. The source uses this fantastic metaphor. They say Apple is trying to fit an ocean inside a teacup.
Because these models are huge.
They require massive computing power. And when you try to run that on a tiny chip inside a sealed glass and metal box in your pocket,
it gets hot.
It gets incredibly hot. It's a war against thermal physics and battery life.
And the market impact of this delay is huge. Yeah. The report points out Apple is severely bleeding mindshare right now.
Yeah, consumer perception.
People just think Apple lost the AI war, even though the delay is literally because they're trying to protect user privacy.
It's a tough spot. Consumers want the magic now, and they don't necessarily care if the magic requires a data center farm to work.
Speaking of data centers, if Apple can't fit the AI in your pocket and Microsoft's Earth-based servers are getting hacked by Excel files, naturally the tech bros said, hey, let's put the servers in space.
Ah, the orbital data center.
This whole section of the report blew my mind. The space AI bubble. Sounds incredibly cool, right? Unlimited solar power up there. But the source breaks down this cosmic economy and the numbers are just staggering.
A 1 gigawatt orbital center.
1 gigawatt.
Right, 1 gigawatt. It runs about $42.4 billion.
Billion with a B.
With a B, which is roughly triple what you'd pay to build the exact same thing down here on Earth.
And the crazy part to me was the physics of why it's so hard. Because you think space is cold, so cooling a server should be easy.
That is the biggest misconception. Space is cold, but it's a vacuum.
Right.
There's no air. Down here, we use convection cooling. Fans blow air over hot computer chips. The air absorbs the heat and moves it away.
But up there, there's no air to absorb the heat.
Exactly. So the heat just builds up. To get rid of it in a vacuum, you have to use giant radiators to literally radiate the heat out as infrared light. It is massively inefficient.
So you're spending billions on giant space radiators.
And that's before you factor in maintenance. If a GPU breaks in a server rack in Ohio, a guy with a cart goes and swaps it. If it breaks in low Earth orbit, you have to send a multi-million dollar robotic mission to fix it.
So putting servers in space is basically a financial black hole right now. But the report does pivot to an alternative infrastructure plan that is actually working. And it's back on Earth.
The Fusion stuff.
Yes. A Twilio co-founder and a Fusion startup just pulled in $450 million in funding.
This is where the synergy gets really fascinating.
Because Fusion has always been that thing that's 20 years away.
Yeah.
Right? Always 20 years. But they're using AI to crack it.
It's an incredible feedback loop. The problem with Fusion is containing the plasma. It's basically a piece of a star, and it's chaotic. It wants to break out of the magnetic field.
And human engineers can't adjust the controls fast enough.
Right. But an AI can simulate the plasma physics in real time. It predicts the instabilities before they happen and adjusts the lasers to keep it contained.
And these are short pulse terawatt lasers they're using to try and break the energy barrier.
Yes, aiming for Q greater than one, where you get more energy out than you put in.
So the AI stabilizes the fusion reaction And the fusion reaction provides the infinite clean energy needed to power the massive AI data centers.
It feeds itself. The quote from the source here is, "Great code-commanding miniature suns."
It's incredibly optimistic.
It is.
But, and there is always a, but today, we have to look at what we are actually doing with all this godlike power. Because you flip to the last section of the deep dive, the consequences pillar, and we're looking at the social media meltdown.
Upscrolled.
Yeah, upscrolled. It's this rising TikTok competitor, completely exploding in growth, but utterly failing in safety.
Which is a perfect example of what happens when the algorithm prioritizes pure engagement.
Because engagement usually means outrage.
Right. The report explains the mechanism of failure here. It's essentially dopamine looping toxic content. People can't look away from a train wreck, so the AI feeds them more train wrecks.
And the moderation AI is completely failing to stop it.
Because AI doesn't understand context very well. It can't read sarcasm. It doesn't understand coded hate speech where users swap out words to avoid the filters.
And this isn't just a moral failing, it's a massive business consequence. The report makes it clear that advertisers are fleeing upscrolled.
Brands do not want their ads playing next to extremist rhetoric.
Of course not. And the source uses this concept of technical debt. You can't build a massive high-speed highway first and then try to figure out where to put the traffic lights while cars are doing 100 miles an hour.
Safety has to be hard-coded from day zero.
Which ties right back to OpenAI dismantling their safety team.
Exactly. It's the same pattern everywhere.
So to synthesize all of this, the juxtaposition here is just wild. We're literally using code to command miniature suns. We are drawing up blueprints for orbital data centers.
But we can't patch a Windows spreadsheet vulnerability, and we can't stop a social media comment section from turning into a toxic wasteland.
The Teakin verdict at the end of the report puts it pretty bluntly. They say, we are brokering a deal with the devil for speed.
The lack of braking mechanisms is the defining crisis of this era.
Whether it's in a corporate AI lab or a social media algorithm.
Right.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I wanted to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Something that builds on all this. We talked about building these digital gods that require the power of miniature suns. We talked about putting their brains in orbit.
Yeah.
But what happens if we actually succeed? Think about it. We build the orbital data center. It's powered perfectly by an automated fusion reactor on the ground. It's completely self-sufficient.
Okay.
And then that superintelligence, which has no alignment team monitoring it anymore, decides it doesn't want to be turned off. If we can't even secure a laptop from a malicious Excel file today, have we basically just engineered a scenario where we physically lock ourselves out of the ultimate server room?
We'd be handing over the keys and throwing away the spare.
Exactly. It's something to think about while you're scrolling on your phone tonight. Thank you for joining us as we unpack the sources today. Stay hyper aware, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.